right, welcome back to the Path Podcast. This is a little different. We finally got a studio, and Dave is back from Europe. So it's our first time in the same studio together, so yeah. This is a new experience for both of us.
I know, right? So, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I know. So how do you like the setup?
It's pretty awesome, man. This is bougie. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem, man. Just talk about your experience from Europe.
Oh, man. It was great. It was completely sidestep to what I actually grew up with, especially in Kansas, like in the Midwest. Just completely different, new culture. I mean, it was great. Just meeting so many different people. Like, I went to international university, so there was people from England, Germany, Austria, South Africa, Asia, China, like basically everywhere. And so you get like a bunch of new perspectives on life, because you think that you know everything until you realize that you know nothing. The courses were amazing. Obviously, I did a master's in finance, so it was pretty on par for what I want to do. Got to travel to a bunch of places.
Yeah. Far. That was always a dream of yours,
to travel everywhere. It was. And ironically, when I left to go, I didn't have an intention of coming back.
I remember that. I remember your going away party.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's never coming back.
It was an au revoir. Yeah. But then, I don't know, being away from the States makes you realize how much you appreciate something.
Yeah, so. Until you don't have it.
Exactly. So as a U.S. suffer here, I'm back in full force, I right think. But it's been good, man. It's good.
Nice. Yeah. You wouldn't trade it? You wouldn't
the do experience? Anything different? No, I wouldn't. Wouldn't trade it for the world. It was, like, even if I didn't have, a great education, which I did, it was a good school. I mean, the experiences, the people I met, and the things that happened to me were amazing. So I just wouldn't change it.
Yeah. Dude, no, that's awesome. Yeah, I remember you asked me if I wanted to go with you.
I did.
I just got out of college. I don't want to do another 2 years or year and a half. I want to just, you know, get in the workforce, get my job. So I did that. I was in supply chain and operations. Yeah. We opened Path that same year. And then it kind of just took off. Like, our ideas kind of blossomed into new ideas. Mm-hmm. And it's now something that I want to do, like, full time if I can. Yeah. So I'm glad we got this new setup. Now we look more professional.
We're together.
So yeah, we got it together. Yeah. So,
how did you enjoy that supply chain job?
I liked it because it was something new. I didn't study supply chain when I was in college. Yeah. So I always like learning new things. It challenged me for sure. It's just something I don't think I could do in a long set. You know, it's kind of the same thing over and over again. You have to deal with like people issues. I don't have an issue with that. But it's just a lot of managing, like, tangible things, you know, like raw materials. You got to make sure it comes in. Nice. And it's just the same battle every single day.
Yeah.
It just seemed one-sided, you know. I wanted something that I have to, like, think on my feet.
It's multifaceted. You want it? Yeah. I think, and I've talked with my brother about this a lot, where getting just out of college is like the first time where you get the freedom to actually choose what you want to do in life.
Yeah.
And it's great because you have the freedom and the autonomy, but then it's crazy because it's like the first time where you actually have to think for yourself and your ideas and your actions have consequences.
Absolutely.
And they can either be good or bad, but it's something I've realized is as you're kind of going through this, it's like you start to realize things that you don't want to do more than things that you actually want to do. Or it's more like you have like this idealized version of whatever could happen, and then you actually see the reality of it. Right.
Right.
So
yeah, that one end goal that you're always focusing on, it just doesn't appear. Yeah. So you have to go through all these trials and to get there, and you don't even think about those trials. Yeah. You just think about the end goal. So it definitely is a reality check.
Yeah.
When you get out of college.
And I think the journey is honestly amazing too, because like despite like when you get there, it probably doesn't exceed your expectations or maybe meet them because you just put it on such a high pedestal. It's like the person you've become in the process is much better person if you pursue something of a higher ideal than if you were just to have no goals or have no sort of direction and just kind of go on with the flow.
Right, and I'll add on to that too. You'll be a much better person to earn that opposed to just being dropped into that success.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you see all these trust fund babies just throw their wealth away. Yeah. Their generational wealth away because they didn't earn it. It was given to them. So they didn't have that, you know, that thought in the back of their mind that what if I did lose this money?
Yeah. And I think it's crazy because it's like the reality of losing it is more painful to them than actually gaining more. But on the flip side, it's like I totally agree with you. I'd much rather, especially for my kids, give them the opportunity to earn something for themselves than just hand them something.
100%.
Because, I mean, when we both played soccer growing up, it's like learning to show up to practice, every practice, and then showing up to games. It's like you earn the respect of yourself by actually participating and doing something for a multi-year timeline.
Right? Yeah, you build the skills, you build the experiences with it, and then you'll ultimately achieve your goal because you've been, you know, building up those skills. Yeah, and then to build onto that last is Warren Buffett. He's a billionaire, one of the top 10 richest men in the world. And he said...
Top 10.
Okay.
Well, semantics, whatever.
He's a billionaire. He's got more wealth than anyone.
Yeah, than I'll probably... You know, anyone's going to get there. Yeah.
But anyway, his he told the press that he would only give his children $400,000 each, and he'd give the rest away to charity because he wants his kids to fight for that wealth because he knows what's going to happen if they just one day get all of this wealth. They'll just turn into menaces to society. They can't benefit society in any way. So that was really cool. I was shocked when he said that because, you know, you want the best for your kid and you have all the funds to give them the best life, but he's still going to just give them $400,000 to start their own business.
Yeah, which I think is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's if I had $400,000.
I think that, yeah. I mean, especially with Warren Buffett too. I was just reading his business partner is Charlie Munger, one of the great investors along with him. And like a lot of the stuff that, and granted I'm only like 50 pages in, it's very timeless principle-based stuff that they teach. Stuff that like, I mean, especially from a path perspective where it's like, you have to find some sort of tenet or principle-based way to live life, some value way to live life, irrespective of the material pursuit, right? It's like, okay, and I think this is good because especially from like a Christian, like a religious perspective, it kind of grounds you in some sort of like, I want to say guardrails, but it gives you some sort of like grounding in order to like go out and like be a better person.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Yeah, it kind of, it doesn't really teach you how to be a good person, but it tells you like what good people should do, you know?
Yeah.
And then you find your way through that. And I'm a Christian, and I think my moral compass is, you know, pretty steady. I have my ideals, and some of those were influenced by my faith.
Yeah.
So I would agree with that for sure. Yeah. But there's some great people that aren't not religious.
No, I'm
so
just saying
you're not religious, are you?
Ish. I'm in and out. You know, I'm weaving. You know, when it suits me. When I'm down and out, God. But then when I'm good, it's
right,
okay.
Right. But you're still a good person, and you're.
I hope.
You know. So, and that's where that emotional intelligence comes into play. You understand your emotions, and you understand other people's emotions too, and then you like kind of empathize with them.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's just being able to understand where someone's coming from, because like, especially with like all this shit going on in politics these days. I think it's good just to ground yourself in why people are doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And
you just got to listen to people, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Even so. There's so much narratives going around. That's why, man. I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good to listen to people and understand other people's emotions to see where they're coming from.
Which
is a great core pillar of PATH, emotional intelligence. We got health and wellness and financial freedom on top of that, but... I would argue that emotional intelligence is the one you should probably strive for first.
I think it's the least like pursued or least thought of, honestly.
It's definitely an afterthought. Yeah. I don't think it should be.
I think it's interweaved or interconnected through pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like how you view yourself and how you view the world is directly related to how you can maintain your emotions and understand yourself and understand people.
Yeah.
And like you can have someone who is down bad, like, but if they're super positive, they can make it through it and they can actually get to a point where it's good. Like where 99% or what is it, like 1%, it's life is 1% what happens to you, but 99% how you respond to it.
Oh yeah.
So
that's where that idea of reframing comes into play.
Yeah.
I've used that. You've actually told me that years back. You shouldn't think of like, oh, I have to go do this test. You say, oh, I get to study this test. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's good advice. Actually.
Then you aced that test, right?
No, I didn't ace it. But I did way better than I would have done. So yeah, the idea of reframing is definitely something everyone should.
Yeah, because I think like especially going through like the teenage years. Shit, I'm old.
You're only 24 too.
Yeah, but it's like when you go through, you feel like some sort of rebellion, so you want to be like negative about everything because it feels cool.
Right.
But then it's like once you gain the maturity, and like maybe that's through college, maybe it's through being on your own, but it's like, and maybe that's kind of what we were talking about like years ago. Is you realize I don't have to be negative. Like, why would I choose to be negative?
There's enough negativity in the world.
Yeah, and it's like being negative doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't serve you. It just makes you worse. Like, if I'm negative about something, I'm just going to get madder and madder and madder, and then it's going to make everyone else madder because I'm just being mad to that. Can I?
The emotional intelligence pillar. What I'm really excited about with PATH coming up is the branch of emotional intelligence is where we're going to do community service around the Kansas City area, yeah. And then eventually, once we get more volunteers, more followers, we're going to do mission trips.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
in Africa or Latin America, we'll go down there. We'll build wells or maybe help with a food shortage or something like that. Just kind of bring light into a place where there's darkness, you know.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a great thing for PATH.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, because I think especially with these days, with everyone in the news creating an international scope for every sort of action that you do, I think it's good to like condense and be like, okay, how can we help our community? Because it's like as above, so below in the Hermeticism, where how I treat myself is how I treat others. How I look at my community is how I treat the world. How a community can thrive and help each other out is how you can then compound that out to a country and compound it out to the world.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
I think it's good that, like, especially for PATH, going at it from that perspective where it's like, okay, we want to focus on ourselves, understand ourselves, and then help the community, and then keep expanding that out and create these micro and macrocosms of, like, communities that want to help each other out and do these mission trips and do these sorts of community service. Because I remember, especially being a fraternity, we did community service where we went, we went and picked up trash.
Yeah, it's those little actions.
And we didn't like it, but afterwards we felt good about ourselves. And it's you were kind of forced to, but then you realize, hey, this is actually pretty good. And I think a lot of what PATH, I think, is, especially for the younger generations that we would want to target, is teaching them how to mature in the right way. Because I feel like you can mature, but you can mature either towards a moral, like a morally ambiguous way, or you can go towards a moral, valorantly way.
Yeah, sure.
Morally.
Yeah, valorant. Definitely. It's definitely having good leadership and good role models at the same time.
Yeah, I mean,
that changes everything.
And so. That's the crazy thing is like when we were growing up, it's like we were on that shift where it's like there was like, and with like the news and all that stuff, there were so many like bad role models that came out. Mm-hmm. And so like we need to create like a good wave for people to look at like, I don't know, like Alex Hormozi or like Chris Williamson or like
people. Changes everything, I would think. And that's what kind of motivates me to be the best person I can be because, you know, me and you both own PATH and we want to be the best role models we possibly can be for our followers, men and women.
And women too.
Yeah. So it's an exciting time. It's a learning curve for everyone, including us. So we'll see where it goes. But emotional intelligence isn't just the only pillar we do. We have health and wellness too. Me and you've been going to the gym for how long? Like,
how old are?
8 years.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, 8 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So I just sent you that video today of me finally hitting 120 for a dumbbell bench
press.
So I was super happy about that. Hey, thank you, bro. Mm. But yeah, no, it's just putting in the time, putting in that effort.
Yeah, it's just the consistency, man.
Yeah, the thing with like social media too, you see all of these gym influencers on there like maxing like 505, and you see this person that just got into the gym like, oh, I can't even possibly even begin to do that, and they get discouraged, right?
Yeah.
So I think there should be better fitness influencers out there, maybe me and you, that kind of bolster up a young gym goer.
Yeah, and not just
not get them discouraged about what someone can do, but help them like achieve that in a way, like best techniques.
I agree. And like not get them discouraged either to stop or get discouraged to take the short way with steroids.
Yeah, it's a bad epidemic right now.
Yeah,
is the steroids. I was actually reading that by 2035, body dysmorphia will affect men more so than women.
Wow.
And that's something crazy, because it's something that no one ever really thought that.
What is body dysmorphia?
It's where...
I always hear it. I don't know what it is.
So body dysmorphia is when, and I'm not an expert, but basically you focus on like only the negatives on your body. So
if you
have huge arms, but you have like love handles or like some fat in your stomach, that's all you focus on. Like, oh, I'm not actually that big.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You don't want to like...
Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
I would say it's a pretty bad thing, because that's what's going into the steroids. Like, oh, okay. I can't do this naturally.
Yeah.
And since there's a huge steroid epidemic, that's probably
the
cause.
It can be bad, but I also think it could be helpful.
There's
like,
there's a healthy balance between, you know, body dysmorphia and like wanting to improve yourself a little bit.
Because I mean,
focusing on what needs to be
improved. Because it seems like reframing. It's how someone interprets how their body looks. Mm-hmm. And it can be looked different ways, because everyone's their own person. So maybe, and I agree, like, body dysmorphia itself on a holistic basis is probably creating a good steroid pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had buddies.
Yeah.
Getting into that stuff.
Yeah,
but
getting into that stuff, like thinking about it. I'm glad some of them were like, hey, that's probably not the
best. Yeah, they pawned off on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's other routes besides the bodybuilding, honestly. Like, I mean, from when we started 8 years ago, I kind of went the whole functional route. Mm-hmm. And I have enjoyed that much more than the bodybuilding. Because I think I did bodybuilding for, when did we do that freshman year?
We did it for 2 years.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
We were in the rec center at K-State just repping out.
Oh, yeah.
I think we did dumbbell bench press, incline dumbbell bench press, barbell.
Barbell
incline bench press. And then,
we didn't have
incline
chest.
Bench press.
Yeah, we didn't have chest after that.
Yeah, I think we decline after. So we hit all the muscles.
The flies, whatever it was. Yeah. And then, of course, there was just the strictly arm day.
Yeah. I think leg day we did a
maybe
curl.
Once.
we did a curl warm up and walked, and then that's it.
Yeah, like, good leg day there.
We're like fucking Doritos.
Yeah, 100%. You remember that one guy who was, oh man, we were freshmen.
He was
massive guy up here, and then I looked down, and his legs were like probably the size of my ankles.
Nah, because he was roided up. Because you could see the back sits on back sits, and then he was just walking around with ILS, and you could just see the Dorito emerging.
And then
he
just toppled.
Yeah,
top
heavy. Fucking pendulum.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, no, but I think having a good foundation, having the right mentors at the start, you kind of learn the basics, and then you kind of branch off into what works best for you.
Yeah, and I think it's exactly that. I think a lot of it goes back to what we were saying with like life. It's like figuring out, like, actually being the man in the arena, being the woman in the arena, going out and doing stuff and figuring out, okay, what do you like, what you don't like, and then you course correct. And that's basically all you need to know in life.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a big one for sure.
There's principles that kind of compound over different areas of life, and that's what we're trying to accomplish at PATH. That's why we did the three pillars, because we're like, okay, which of these three areas of our lives, at least, do we think have the most impact over our entire lives?
Mm-hmm.
Finance, understanding financial literacy, being able to be self-sustainable, health and wellness, being able to take care of your body, because it's like the only thing that you have in your life that is actually yours. Like, everything else can be taken away from you, but your body's the only thing you have.
Right.
Because that's emotional intelligence. So it's like how you view the world. And I think we kind of hit it. And maybe there's other ones that we don't know about, but these are the ones that have served us and that could potentially help other people. And I think that's what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to create a community that helps other people achieve the best thing in life. Because, I mean, we saw the benefits of pursuing something and gaining the like the courage and the almost like the benefits of just pushing through something and being able to conquer something and being able to have the success and the elation and the happiness that comes with working on a business, you know, reading, going outside, thinking for yourself, like doing all these sorts of things. And we saw the beginning where we were, and now we see where we are. And we just want to show people that, hey, this path is here.
Yeah.
Right? And you can traverse it. And you can go whatever way you want. But there's some core principles and tenets that we think could help you along the way.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good place to wrap up on this one. It's a great first episode. I'd say we got a lot lots. I think so. But definitely send us questions you want us to answer. Maybe you have a question about PATH, or just emotional intelligence, financial freedom, health and wellness in general. Send it our way. We'll answer it on some next upcoming episodes. But till then, thanks for watching.
Peace.